Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. It's Eddie and Jim today. We've reversed roles, we're juggling the line, so to speak, in order to get this thing back on track. Welcome to the broadcast. Right off the bat, I want to thank everybody for coming out to the big-time Blue Shirt Underground Radio viewing party. Although it ended in sadness, it was full of gladness and madness. And I just wanted to say thank you for everybody coming down and representing yo. Now, to the business at hand. It is now 2-2 in the Eastern Conference quarterfinal. I guess it is the Eastern Conference quarterfinal. And the Rangers fell victim to a Kyle Turris goal with 2:15 into overtime. And, the pain. Now, I was busy entertaining. We had a good time despite the loss. But Jim was watching the game. And he has a few words he'd like to say. Here he is. Here's Jim.
Good evening, everyone. You ready? 36-word summation of my thoughts on the game. Here it comes. An early two-goal lead isn't enough if you stop checking and shooting at all of that stuff. Because when you choose to play not to lose, you've committed a sin and you will not win. Done.
Wow.
Come on, everybody!
A virtual Nipsey Russell of this broadcast. Coming up with a little poem. I didn't know this was going to be in the... was going to have a pentameter to it.
Nice.
So you thought the Rangers played not to lose.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The minute they were up 2-0, we're done. Thanks for the action, folks. Absolutely.
Well, so you're telling me, in your opinion, after the 6 minutes into this game, at the 14-minute mark or so, the Rangers mailed it in.
Yes.
The first period.
Most of it. Most of that game, except for a few spurts, came out hard the first 5 minutes of the third period. I figure they got their ass chewing, specifically Brad Richards. I thought the way he came out in the third period, he was definitely the focal point of the fireside chat that they got in between second and third periods. And then that was it. Another burst here and there, but no, they were done. We're up 2-0. We're going to stop skating hard. They were not hard to the puck last night at all. They didn't hit hard enough. They didn't skate hard enough. They have not raised their game the way Ottawa has. They got exactly what they deserved last night. Exactly what they deserved. And just like in game two, I knew going into overtime that no matter who won, it was going to happen fast. This was not going to be some marathon overtime where you guys were still at that bar at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, trying to round up a cab to bring you all home because the trains had shut down for the night or something. I knew it would end fast. Are you there? Oh, did I just lose Eddie? Eddie, are you there? Eddie's not there. Can you guys hear me? Tell me in the chat room if you can hear me. I've upset the hockey gods now. Dan can hear me. Can you hear Eddie? Eddie, are you there? Eddie's, I don't know. Eddie, I can't hear you. No, Eddie. Nobody can hear Eddie. Where are you, Eddie? All right. So, that's it. I mean, I have really no other summation for the game except those 36 words that I gave you in rhyme, Dr. Seuss. Because that's what I thought it boiled down to. They got a 2-0 lead on the power play. And, you know, I thought that should have changed the entire complexion of the game because Ottawa has not been afraid to take penalties the first couple of games of the series because they knew the Rangers wouldn't make them pay. Then when the Rangers made them pay, I thought Ottawa would have to change their style a little bit. Are you back, Eddie?
Yeah.
There you are. All right. Now, one of these. All right. Hold on. Hopefully, I'm going to disconnect the right one. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Middle of thought. And then they got that third power play.
This is where I was going to go, too.
Okay. And when they didn't score there, I thought that was it. They gave all – that was it. Ottawa was in the game, and off they went. And the Rangers were on their heels for a majority of the last 49, 50 minutes of that game. And they got what they deserved.
It's kind of a byproduct of what we were talking about in the regular season ad nauseum. It's what Jeff Cooper from the UK has been talking about. The power play needed for the Rangers to go far, the power play, and for the easier road, needs to be on point, and it's not. In the third period, they had two power plays. Just when you thought that they could, you know, have that chance to do something, they squander it. And you know, I don't understand it. I certainly can't figure it out, but when a team gives you those opportunities in the third period, you got to come up big. You know, everybody talks about the Ottawa offense. You know, you take Daniel Alfredson out of the equation, the Rangers are just as offensively talented as Ottawa is. No, they don't have an Erik Karlsson in the back line, but they certainly have a good enough offense this year, especially, to get some freaking power play goals. I mean, it's just getting frustrating. I'm tired of trying to protect them by, you know, just saying, you know. I mean, I love the team, but it's getting ridiculous now that this team cannot score on the power play. It's killing us Ranger fans. You know, at the viewing party, you know, it was weird because we've had other viewing parties where it's been regular season games. These games, I got to see live the actual agita that this team gives everybody. It's not just me. It's just that the couple guys I watch the games with every week, or I know you guys, and I hear in the chat room, I got to see it live. People are pacing. People are – they're so nervous. And this is because of them. I'm pissed at them. Come on. Ottawa is not some defensive stalwart team. Come on. Craig Anderson is not George Vezina. They got to score on a power play. These are mistakes by a team. You take penalties early in the third period when Foligno took that high-sticking penalty. Boom, you capitalize. Right there, you dictate. Then they took one late in the period. What about 6 minutes to go? Bam, you capitalize. Send them home. Nothing. They come up empty. So it's so frustrating. I, Jim, I was heartsick after that that loss last night. Because, and I'm going to tell you why. Not that I'm saying I'm giving up, because I'm not giving up. It's just I'm getting sick and tired of the overtime losses in the playoffs. It's bad enough I keep having flashbacks to that Capital, you know, double overtime, triple overtime, whatever it was when Jason fucking Chimera scored against us. And then now these two overtime games, I have no confidence in overtime. I'm waiting to get freaking crushed. I got crushed again last night. And I'm very disappointed in Ranger fans that every time a goal goes in, they got to look for the fickle finger of blame. The point that this guy, he should have done that. Strowman never should have screened Hank. Hank should have had that. Goals just go in sometimes. This is what hockey is. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be anybody's fault. Maybe it's the whole team's fault, like Jim said, for sitting on a lead and not putting their foot on the pedal. It's like they got the 2-0 lead, and it's now let's play prevent defense the rest of the game. That was the problem. They got the lead too early. That first period seemed like it was 7 years long. I was like, when is this period going to end? Because usually it's not 2-0 until the second, at the end of the second or the beginning of the third. You get out 2-0. I know this isn't the Philadelphia Pittsburgh series where the, you know, it's indoor soccer scores over there.
12-9.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's an all-star game.
Yeah. It's an all-star game. So 2-0. Got to keep coming. Got to keep putting the pressure on. And you know, I thought Callahan, you know, he wasn't too upset about it, the loss. Although I kind of wanted him to be. Like, you know, I kind of wanted to go, you know, listen, we had 2-0 lead. We should have put them down, you know. I guess they were trying to equate it, you know, whether you lose 2-1 or in overtime, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, these momentum things happen in the playoffs. Now, the Rangers were able to bounce back last time. But why do we have to keep getting these resiliency checks when really – frankly, Ottawa has been the more resilient team in the series so far. I think. They hang around.
Yep. I mean, they've been the better team. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, we're 2-2, and I know that, you know, I think overall, if you look at these two teams, I think Ottawa's been better. Out hit, out face off, out shot. You know.
They certainly look like they want it more. They spend way more time in the Rangers zone than the Rangers spend in the other team's zone. You know, I don't know. I don't have the answer. Now it's a best out of three. You know, I'll be at game five. Maybe that will.
That's right. I forgot. You're going on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Cool. I'll be, we're congregating on Saturday, another Arizona viewing party. Should be about 10 or 12 of us there. So Justin will be there. Nick Pertilli will be there. Keith McElroy, Tammy Freed, Shane Pogue. I told him where his lucky Met hat. So pulling out all the stops.
I just like, I look up and down that Ottawa lineup and I go, what is this? Zach Smith. I don't know. I think we have better players, but it doesn't mean nothing. If I don't know if we're playing too defensive. If we, you know, I think we certainly have the edge in goaltending and defense, and it's 2-2. I give Ottawa credit. They're a lot better than I thought they were. Wilfred Brimley, or the, what do they call him? They had a great nickname for him. Damn it.
These
two guys
like,
I met at the.
He looks like one of the scrubbing bubbles.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
These two guys, they had a great nickname for him. I can't remember it. Because I was doing the, you know, check your diabetes, check it often.
Right.
And they also came up with Marc-Andre Fleury, Marc-Andre Five-Hole. which I've never heard before. I like that one. But you were talking about your Phoenix get-together. I met your friend there, Mikey Ballantyne, who's apparently a jet-setter. He was in there with you at Hooters last week, and he was in New York.
Yeah.
With his girlfriend and wife, Joy. So they're like Blue Shirt Underground Radio jet-setters.
Yeah, he's the first person other than me to attend a viewing party in New York and in Phoenix.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
They have like a special jacket or something to wear, like a Friars
Club. So, yeah, and me and Jim talked about this before the show. I'm really upset at that loss. I told you, I always know the indication. It's like in the middle of the night, I wake up, and I wake up, I'm happy as a clam, and then I think about what happened last night, and I go. I just punch my mattress. Fuck. Can't believe they lost. So last night, I stuck in my craw. I know it, everybody. It's scary that it's a best of three now, but it's also, I think they can win a best of three. So they got to win that game at the Garden. And they have been unable to seal the deal at the Garden with the division with the conference. Oh, was it a conference and President's Trophy or division and conference, I think, at home? So, although they went on to win it anyway, this is a whole new ball game. So, what do you think about does the chat room or the people abroad have any guys that they think that have been not playing well, who have been, it's four games in. I think we've had a good swath of play and four games to analyze now. Are there any guys, Jim, that you think are kind of lost or just not doing what you thought they would do?
Brad Richards.
Well, he had eight shots last night, I think.
Yeah, I know. I think most of them came on that one shift in the first shift in the third period.
Mm-hmm.
Enough with they won a Conn Smythe with John Tortorella. Enough. Enough with that.
I'm looking at the stats here, and I'm looking at the time on ice. Stu Bickel, only 3 minutes and 33 seconds. What happened there?
I don't think he used Bickel much in the third period. All right.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. You think Richards, for the money they're paying, should be more impactful?
I don't care how much money they're paying him. He's supposed to be. I mean, this is one of the reasons why he was brought here. I mean, let's think. I don't want to make this all about dumping on Brad Richards because there are other places.
Well, no, I asked you.
But
no, I'm just going to say,
let's face it. They brought this guy here for three reasons. One, win faceoffs. Two, get the power play going. Three, he's great in the playoffs. I know he had a decent season, and he got hot towards the end, but we still need you to be hot. I don't know how to break it to you. Thanks for the 6 weeks.
He had last
season, but we need more.
Well, that's true.
And I know he had 2 points on the two power play goals. I know. But we need more than that. Dubinsky. I'm doing my own clip.
Do your own clip, okay.
Dubinsky. Where is he? You know what? I think he's switched with Brian Boyle. I think they've like switched bodies or something.
Dubinsky.
Exactly.
Dubinsky.
He's been terrible.
Dubinsky.
You sound like me now. It's terrible.
Dubinsky. Put one puck in the net. Dubinsky.
He did have one shot that he shot right
in. All I can think of is Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live. Remember that time you had that shot? That was great.
Yeah. That was great.
That was great. So, anyway.
So, Dubinsky and Richards.
478-46.
I'm trying to look at the chat room. A lot of people are on the Dubinsky.
As they should be.
Some
Gabrick
on Richards. Who?
Gabrick.
Yes.
You know what? Before we get to that, let me ask you a question. First of all, what did you think of the stall hit on Spezza? Or as Frankie calls him, Spezza!
Spezza! Suffering fucking ass.
Yeah. Fucking ass.
Well, I thought it was legal. I liked it. It was good. It was the first big hit he's made, really. Yeah, I think he made one other early on since his comeback. I thought it was decent. I liked it. I like to see him play with more fire.
Okay.
What did you think?
I agree. I thought it was one of the more physical games he's played since he's been back last night. I thought the hit was fine. It was perfectly clean. Spezza has got to keep his head up, first of all. And the way he went down and got off the ice, I mean, you like to say Zapruder film. The only thing missing from that was Jackie O climbing over the back of the limo in the pillbox hat the way he went down. Oh, my head. Oh, but I'm all right for the third period. Another miraculous recovery. He's a diving bitch is what he is. Did I lose you again? Eddie's gone again. All right. So, yep, there he goes.
I'm back.
There you are.
Yeah. So, I don't know what. I feel like I have to keep putting dimes in this thing, quarters, to keep it going. I'm running out of time. It's just like every 50 minutes, I'm booted.
It's like the Brady Bunch with the payphone in the house.
Yeah.
So what was the last thing?
Well, you said you were in. All this is missing is Jackie, reaching over the limo in the Zapruder
right.
film.
Jackie O climbing over the back of the limo with a pillbox hat. Spezza.
Spezza. He's a whining sack, too.
Spezza. Jason Spezza. He's a whiny little
bitch. Jason Spezza. All of them whine.
Yeah, they ought to call them the Sanguins. Or the Sensguins or something. The way
they
bitch.
You know, it's sour grapes. And I think there's been fair points made that these overtime losses really sting a lot more than a 3-1 loss. And that's how I've been trying to kind of come to terms with it and just say, listen, if they lost 3-1, it's the same thing. It's 2-2. But what kills me is the 2-0 lead. They got it to such a good start. The mood in the place was electric, Jim. It was as if you were parachuted in. That's how the crowd reacted. Although you weren't parachuted in, but if you had been. I mean, it's all high fives. Everybody's going crazy. I'm doing the pumpernickel thing I do when they score. And I got 2 power play goals. I'm getting silly here. Let's go for goofy. 3 power plays. Nothing.
I don't have the clip. So, who all was there last night?
Well, the great John Newman and Stacey Katz were there, along with the great, everybody's great who showed up, and who didn't show up. Paul Guiduzzi was there, City Hockey Fever. They had like a little booth thing going. They were eating nachos, and they had like a little, they were, I don't want to say, I always say the wrong word here. I always say canoodling. They can't be a three-way canoodle, can they? They could be, I guess they can, but they were like, you know, just, you know, hanging back. Stacy picked up the tab for Newman, of course. I don't know what happened there. But Anne Marie was there.
Really?
Yes. Anne Marie Adrian?
Yeah.
I don't know how to say her last name. She was there. Was
she been any of her previous parties?
I don't think so. I think that was her first time there. She was there, and she told me how she's going to, I don't know, she's going to give Gary Bettman a gift that he's never going to forget. It included tampons and some other stuff. And there was, who else was there? Yeah, like I had mentioned, the Ballantine Blast. Mikey Ballantine was there. Marcy Braverman was there. Like four or five guys from Hockey's Future were there, led by Salz, S-A-L-Z. He was there. All nice guys. Fantastic. Ranger Odessit Anatoly, he was there with his friend. Dan Cotter was there. Rocco Sansone was there. Rocco has, and I think Dan, have made every party so far. I think they're the heavyweight, so to speak. And so, yeah, we had a pretty good gathering. But the vibe was a lot different, though, because we were all so focused on the game and worried. You know, we couldn't really have the greatest time. It was a different kind of atmosphere. So, somebody asking me if I went. Of course I did. What do you think?
No, I think she's asking.
Hosted?
I think she's asking Ed White.
Oh, Ed White? No, I don't think Ed White was there. I don't remember any other Eds. But it was a good time, and, you know, it was certainly good in the first 10 minutes. We were rocking and rolling. The drinks were flowing, but it ended in despair. So, you know, the Rangers went on to disappoint us. But it was a good time anyway, and it was kind of fun because we found out the place was right next to a peep show.
Nice.
So I thought it was kind of fitting because I thought we were getting a little too fancy, dancy, schmancy. But then when we were right next to a peep show, I said, this is where this underground unlawful gathering deserves to be.
Right. So who went into the peep show when they left the bar and when the game was over? Sansone? Bet he was right in there.
Actually owned it, which was... No.
Did Newman keep saying, I'm going to the bathroom, and then he'd run over there?
No. I just remember telling John Newman, thank you for being a listener. Why I said that, I must have been really drunk. But I said that. And, no, Newman wasn't doing too much. He was saying, look, we both had McDonough jerseys on, and then I felt stupid because me and John Newman now had something in common.
Right. You bonded.
Yeah, I kind of felt like a tool that he had the same jersey as I did, although mine was better.
Right.
But, listen.
And Stacy didn't pay for yours.
No! So, it was good. But I wish the results were better. And, you know... I just was hard to. I really am. I'm not worried. I'm glad we have 2 days off to kind of regain our Ranger energy.
Oh, definitely. I need it. Tomorrow night's going to be wonderful. No show, no game, no nothing.
So I see that Mary is on hold. Let's get Mary's take on this. Mary! This is Edward Geich along with Jim Schmiederberg, his Blue Shirt Underwear on Radio. Mary,
yes.
How are you?
I'm okay. It is Mary, live from the Rainbow Road. Let me just say this about Game 4. way too many wasted opportunities. As soon as I saw it was 2-0, I know the Rangers were going to play conservatively, too conservatively. They were collapsing deeper and deeper in their own zone way too much. There was the forward out by the defenseman at the point, so Senators had all night to blast away at that puck. No aggressive forecheck. Stack that slot.
I think you hit every point on the head, Mary.
Yeah, I know. I was heartbroken.
I really... Go ahead.
Just way too predictable. You knew it. I knew it. I felt like I was watching Paranormal Activity at the blue line. Every time the Rangers tried to clear the puck out of the zone, it seemed like there was a ghost on the blue line.
We said, it's funny, we said like every Ranger is like Superman and they get, it, kryptonite is in the defensive zone. They're too weak to lift the puck out of the zone.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that. You're right. There is some paranormal activity. Don't you think the Rangers ever feel like, you know, this prevent defense, for lack of a better word, is not the way to win a hockey game?
I don't know.
All right. Well, did you watch the first of all, I got two questions to ask you. Did you have your Olive Garden interview?
Yeah, they said, thanks for coming and seeing. We have other applicants. You know, we'll give you a call. And look how many days it's been I didn't get called. I don't think they liked me. Yeah, big spring.
Well, you know what? Screw them. They don't deserve you, the Olive Garden. You could do much better than the Olive Garden.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I'm just trying to make some money to help keep my bills paid. You know,
right.
In that game, there was way too many penalties. And I think Ottawa had 5 power plays by the second period, you know?
Right. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm so bummed. I don't know.
You sound like you're really deflated.
I am.
Yeah, I know. My heart's going out to you. You know, as well as myself. After the Rangers scored the second goal, they couldn't score if the puck was Reggie Bush and the net was Kim Kardashian. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
She's on to Kanye West.
Yeah, well, at least...
Who is this, Carol Channing?
Well, she is on to Kanye West.
She is. She was on the cover of the magazines when I was at the store today.
Maybe the Rangers can get Kanye West to have to help the power play.
I think he should consider himself lucky because he's not a nice person. I'm not too happy on Kanye West.
Is it because he knocked What's-Her-Face off stage when she was getting her award there?
Yeah, I was going to grab that microphone from Taylor Swift. I felt like getting on the stage and just giving him a nice salute. I love her. She could do no wrong in my eyes. I know. Well, she could do no wrong in my eyes. Oh, yeah. You know, before we get too far off the track, Callahan played...
Too late.
I'm sorry.
Are you trying to give me the double talk?
Who was that?
That was Curly from the Three Stooges saying, "You trying to give me the double talk?"
No.
Now,
I get straight, and I wrote down all these things I want to tell you, but my mind goes to pop culture. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. No, I enjoy it. Jim's the one who gets annoyed by it.
I'm not annoyed at all.
Don't get me on him because he's got all the buttons and he pushes my buttons.
Yeah, now, Mary, you said that you thought Callahan played well?
Yes, Callahan played great. And Richards and I never say his name right. Graborik?
Yeah, Graborik.
Oh, I'm sorry. were useless after the second goal. Number four and Mr. Sidefarm, that Mark Stahl, they were just trash. Did you ever see the special on that Mark Stahl where his family has a side farm?
No.
Yeah, that was a special on one of the channels I was watching. And they take you back to the guys, you know, like where they came from, and his family has a sod farm. So
a sod farm.
A sod, you know, sod like you grow.
Yeah, I know corn. Sod. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they actually have the sod farm. It's beautiful where he comes from. And and you know, I wore my Mike York jersey for last night's game, so I feel like it's my fault.
Don't worry.
Do you believe in karma?
Try a Dick York jersey next time.
Ah, come on. That's a Bewitched reference.
Well, she said she likes pop culture, so.
I do. I don't know if I'm going to watch Game 5 because there's a show at the Borgata in Atlantic City, and I don't know. I might be going to that. Comedy show so I could get a few laughs.
Marty Allen? Who's going to be playing at that comedy
show? No, isn't Marty Allen dead?
No, he's alive. He's still with us.
Oh, he is?
Alan King.
He's dead.
Alan King. Dick Clark.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. I made a Dick Clark joke at the viewing party, and I felt the karma change there.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, I was making fun of how he does the countdown, you know, last few years. It's like 9, 25, 7.
Yeah, you know. He had a stroke.
Yeah. Well, God bless.
I'm going to have a stroke here in a minute.
All right.
Well, I guess I got to go.
All right. Well, I love hearing from you. And
Dad, you know what? You're the nicer one of the two. I think that Eddie's a little mean.
No, wait, I'm Eddie. He's Jim.
Wow, I can't. Oh, he's laughing. Yeah,
Jim is the Jim is
an asshole.
I concur. Oh, you're Eddie? You're
all right.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Eddie.
Eddie's the one who knows about Kanye West. Jim
is the
one.
Eddie?
Whoa, and here we go.
Yes, I am indeed married to the nicest woman and the most beautiful woman in the world.
Did your little girl hurt her toe the other night?
All right, we've got to go. We've got to move.
Okay, Gab or Rick?
All right, take care.
What did she ask you?
If I was married.
No, I heard that part. What did she ask you after that?
I don't know. I was tuning it out.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
I don't know. What did she say?
I don't know. I can't wait to go back and listen to it.
She said something about you treat her like the little girl or something.
I don't know. All right. Enough of that nonsense. So we're going to get some hard-hitting analysis from my... We're going to my friend Frankie down in Fort Myers. Frankie, what's going on, buddy?
It's about 85 down here in Fort Myers. How is it up in there in New York?
Well, it's beautiful. I'm here in Arizona. Eddie's in Long Island. It's 85 degrees here in Arizona. Frankie, did you hear that lunatic that was just on the phone? Did you hear that?
Yeah. I evidently watched a different game down here than you and Mary and you guys watched up north. I thought that, you know, I just thought a lot of things. First thing is that we were winning 2-0, and then Stahl gets caught up ice. I don't know what he was doing in front of the Anderson net because he's not an offensive defenseman. He got caught. And Stroman got stuck on a two-on-one, and all of a sudden the score was 2-1. And I think Stahl changed the game around. Nobody, I think, has mentioned anything about that Stahl was on ice for all three goals. And that's
was he really? I didn't even realize that, Frankie.
I put it on your Facebook. He was on ice for all three goals.
I haven't been on Facebook all day long.
Okay. He was on ice for... He was on ice for all three goals. They matched him up with his usual Strawman, and after Strawman got his point at the beginning of the game, they benched Strawman again. And then they put Delzato with him, and then they put – I even saw a matchup of Stahl and McDonough, and then they even put Girardi with Stahl. You know, we went through this a couple of talk shows ago about how the Rangers would do, and what got us to be tops in our division was not our power play. So if our power play still stinks, it doesn't bother me because we were first in our division without a power play. And what I had stated earlier was that we were successful because what got us to the top of our division was a defensive posture and the best goalie in the league, and let's not mess with that. And then we sort of like backed into the playoffs, which we talked about, because they last few games they benched Strawman and they put Stahl in there, who wasn't playing well, and they put Delzato on the opposite side, and that didn't make sense. And Delzato went from a plus 30 to a plus 20.
All right, Frankie, I got to stop you. Frankie, you're blaming that loss completely on Mark Stahl.
Stop. He was on goal for all three goals he was on ice for.
He totally reminded.
And the team that we had down here in Fort Myers, they showed one incident where Neil was crashing the net, and the guy was fighting with him in front of the net, and they isolated it with Delzato. It was not Stahl. Stahl was like 15 feet away from the net, and Delzato was the guy that was fighting with Chris Neal, who's much bigger than
Michael
him.
Delzato.
And I think Delzato did well.
You always think Michael Delzato does well. He looked terrible in the first three games. But
Game
two kept him the puck away. I mean, you know, he didn't atone in, later in the game, but he's been really a non-factor.
Well, if you look at the stats, look at the Yahoo stats, and where do you see Stahl? At the bottom. And where do you see Strawman and Delzato and Girardi? They're on top. I'll bet you, I don't have the statistics, but I'll bet you two-thirds of the goals scored in this series against the Rangers were with Stahl on the ice. Somebody should be able to capture that data, but just in this one game, it was three goals. And he has not done well.
What about the hit on Spezza?
Spezza is rather unique. I saw it different because I thought they were going to penalize on him, but after looking at it a couple of different times with the feed down here, Spezza looks like he banged his head against Stahl's chest. And so it was had nothing to do with a high stick. It wasn't a cross-checking thing. I don't know, because Stahl was backing up, and he went into Stahl. I mean, and he caused his own injury, I think. He banged his head against Stahl's chest, so it was unpenalized hit because it didn't warrant a penalty.
Well, what do you think about the impression? Don't you think that was a nice hit by Mark Stahl?
I think it was good that Stahl got in the way, and I was glad to see Spezza deposited on his butt. Whether it was intentional or not, I don't know, but I'm glad that Stahl was where he was supposed to be on that play. But
Frankie,
there were other plays where he was not playing well.
Frankie, I love you. I think you know what you're talking about. You have it out for Mark Stahl, and you're an apologist for Michael Delzato. When has Michael Delzato ever thrown a hit that I can even remember that impacted the game? I don't care what the stats say. He doesn't hit it at all. As a matter of fact,
that's like saying Hank Aaron. I know he got 714 home runs, but you know what? What
he
is
got
that?
A 2,000 game.
Yeah.
I mean, And on that one, when Stahl rushed the puck, Mitchell didn't get back to cover for a Stahl on that. So it's Mitchell's fault as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, let's still blame Mitchell. We always blame Mitchell, or we always blame Delzato, or we always blame Strawman. You know, and Stahl is always the one out there when the opposing goal happens.
I agree. Yeah. I like Strawman. I just think you have it out for Mark Stahl, and that you love Michael Delzato over Mark Stahl.
Well, you know, just another thing I did, I went onto YouTube, and I started looking at Stahl and see how he was years ago. And they have YouTube videos of Scal going back and forth with a right-winger on Los Angeles called Dustin Brown. And there were some really physical confrontations, and Scal was a pretty physical guy. But it looks like he had a confrontation with Chris Neal a couple of years ago, where Chris Neal punched him in the right cheekbone, which I think has caused a scar to Scal. And I don't think Stahl's been the same player since then. And when he's had other confrontations since then, I think once against his former teammate, Chris Letang, Letang picked him up and bench-pressed him and threw him on the ice and just sat on him. And then about a year ago, there was another confrontation he had with a guy named Semin at Washington, who slapped him around like a little girl. I just think Stahl is not the player... Scal is not the player he was 3 or 4 years ago. It looks like he's lost his guts.
Yeah, ask Matt Stajan. Ask Matt Stajan on that hit he gave Matt Stajan when me and Jim were at the game.
Oh, that was great.
Matt Stajan still doesn't know where he is.
Matt Stajan, I don't know him as a good player, but he's a journeyman player in the league. But
YouTube that hit. It says Mark Stahl kills. Mark Stajan, whatever his name is.
Well, I think in the offseason, I think both Scal and Dubinsky are both gone. I think.
All right.
I also think Tim Erickson is gone, too.
No.
We got too many finesse defensemen, too many overpaid people that are not producing.
Nope. Frankie, I'm going to jump in here. Tim Erickson's not going anywhere.
His father played for the team. But you can't have all the left defensemen in this organization finesse players. The only tough guy we have on left defense that is willing to go out there and knock somebody on his butt is Delzato.
Oh, stop. Where do you see Michael Delzato?
You guys don't look at the stats.
When Michael Delzato hits, it looks like he's groping the guy. He's like pushing him with all arms. He doesn't even lead with his body. Get out of here.
Okay. Well, we get different speeds down here than you guys get up north, apparently. And when
I'm out of Arizona.
I get the feed when I'm in section 308 and I'm watching the game. That's the feed I get.
I used to be up there when the guys used to come by with the Philadelphia jerseys and the Boston jersey. Then we'd have a whole section descend on them and massacre them.
Well, I like that.
That was the good old days after Schultz mugged Rick Middleton, and they both gave him 5-minute majors. Schultz for fighting and Middleton for receiving. I remember those days. So we made up for it in section one of the places, like probably 308. I have a good memory.
Oh, I know. I respect your hockey knowledge. I just disagree with you. That's all.
Like I said, you can't dispute the fact that he was on ice for all 3 goals last night. Okay?
Jim, what do you think? Do you think Henrik should have had some of those goals?
I thought the first two definitely, and the third one, what are you going to do? Strawman was in front of him and he couldn't see. I'm not necessarily blaming Strawman, and I'm not blaming Hank. The third goal, what are you going to do? It never should have come to that in the first place. They stopped playing hard after they were up 2-0. Were up 2-0 and they stopped playing hard. Everybody, as a team collectively, Frankie, they stopped playing hard. They deserved to lose last night. And the hits and the pluses and the minuses and this and that and the other, that's great, but the effort wasn't there. They stopped playing hard when they were down 2-0 last night, or up 2-0, excuse me.
I agree, and the statistics were misleading because even though Anderson and Lundqvist had about approximately the same number of saves, Ottawa only blocked 8 shots. The Rangers blocked 30 shots, which is an indication that Lundqvist was under pressure all game long. That's between 30 blocked shots and 30-something saves. That's 60-something shots. No goalie should be subjected to 60-something shots in one game. That's insane. We have lost focus. We got into our division lead. We got into the playoffs based on our defensive posture, not our success on the power play. Now everybody complains about we're not doing well in the playoffs because our power play stinks. Our power play has always stunk under Tortorella, but that doesn't stop us from being successful. We are a defensive team that wins a lot of games 2-1, 3-2. That's our skill set. That's our mindset. So let's not get away from that. But 60-something shots, you know, including the block shots and the regular shots, against Lundqvist, that guy's shell-shocked. I mean, give him a break. He did not have a bad game. He was just under constant pressure. You know,
but
Frankie,
you're talking about they blocked 30. They blocked 30 shots last night. Is that what you? That's what you're saying,
shots,
right?
And Richard blocked six.
Okay,
Richard blocked six shots last night.
And Henrik made 30 saves, right?
I think it was 30, 33, something like that.
But you're talking about, at the same time, you're talking about the defensive team and playing the way that got him there. That's what got him here. Hank making 25, 30 saves and blocking 20, 30 shots. This is what got him there. But they stopped playing hard last night.
I just think that, right, the thing is, we spent too much time in our zone last night. The forecheck wasn't working well. I don't, you know, like I said, Saul was caught out of position on one play. It's just that I don't know if we had stayed with our defensive struggle and Stahl didn't get caught up ice, maybe it would have stayed 2-0. I don't know. But the thing is, whatever it is, this constant changing of the defenseman, and we've talked about that on prior talk shows. You can't have Stahl with McDonough. You can't have Stahl with Girard. You can't have Stahl with Delzato and Delzato switching from left to right, right to left. You can't have Strawman with Stahl. Stahl doesn't fit in this season based on his play. I mean, we were doing just fine before Stahl was forced back into the lineup. Strawman and Delzato was working. It's just that we got away from that, and now we're a team that has very little margin for error. Okay, we don't win games 5-0 or 10-3. We don't have that kind of a team. We have a team that wins 2-1 and 3-2. That's our agenda. And if Tortorella is going to mess with the system at the end of the season and in the playoffs by rotating defensemen left and right, he is going to mess with our mindset. I mean, McDonough and Stahl last night, who thought up that combination? Give me a break. And I thought, you know, why is Girardi with Stahl? I mean, it's like every shift, it's a different defensive pairing. You know, guys must be wondering who they're covering on the next shift or who they're playing with.
I agree. Well, Frankie, listen, we're running out of time. I want to talk to you again after Game 5, and we'll see what's going on, all right?
Call I hope so.
Sunday night, all right?
Thank you.
I'll let you know what
Thank
time
you, Frankie.
Show.
Good night, gentlemen.
Take care, Frankie. We love you. All right. The chat room was loving it. It's the first time we've ever got taken a glove. We dropped the gloves there, Kotz.
Well, because you know what it is? Every week he comes on and he bashes Stahl and he endorses Michael Delzato, who up to, you know, hasn't been playing all that well. And to tell me that he is a better hitter. Michael Delzato never throws. He's an offensive defenseman. He's not known for his hitting. I don't care what the stats say. I watch the games. We watch the games. So, you know, just like if I was sitting around with a friend of mine, I'm going to call him on his bullshit like he would call me on my bullshit.
Nobody's afraid Michael Delzato is going to ride him into the boards, that's for sure. All right.
You know what? One other thing, Jim, before you... Okay. Hey, he won't even give him credit for the Spezza hit. He's like, well, he ran into him.
He ran into his
Get
chest.
Get out of here.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, Marian Hossa ran into Rafi Torres' elbow the other night.
Yeah. Same thing.
All right. Running short on time. What time do you want to do the game five wrap up on Sunday? You want to do like 6 o'clock your time again?
Yeah, we'll do that before the game starts, after the game starting or whatever. Yeah, 6 o'clock's fine.
Okay, 6 o'clock Sunday, we'll be back with the Game 5 wrap-up. Dan, thanks for holding. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, Oh, sorry, guys. Oh, no, I'm just joking around. you know, I just want to say, like, Frankie is just so wrong. I mean, listen, Delzato's an offensive defenseman. Staal has some offense and Staal hits. And what he did to Jason Spezza, that's Spezza's own fault. He ducked. He put his head down. I mean, and all these Ottawa fans are crying and moaning that Mark Staal gave him an illegal hit. Spezza puts his own head down. He's going to, what, you want Staal to all of a sudden say, oh, I can't touch you. Free shot.
I think Frankie's got an agenda out there, and it's completely wrong. It's to get rid of Mark Staal. That's his agenda. Trade him.
Now, here's my complaint about the game. Besides the rain, I mean, we've already said it. The Rangers they just took off their foot off the gas after the first period. They're the ones that caused the loss. We all know that, or at least forced into overtime. But my complaint is the refereeing. Why is it that on that same play where Staal hits Spezza, why is it that Dan Girardi gets high-sticked, cut on the bridge of his nose, bleeding,
right,
and we're not getting a double minor, and that power play should have been wiped out?
Hello?
Hello? Guess we lost him.
We just lost Dan. All right.
Well, Dan was right. I mean, Girardi got a high stick right after that. No call, nothing.
Right. Let's see. All right. Justin's been holding the longest. Joey's up next. Justin, what's going on?
Hey. What's up, fellas?
How are you? So what did you think? What are you thinking now?
I think I'm doing about as well as you guys are right now.
I'll tell you.
I don't know. I don't really blame anyone for the loss last night. It was a total team loss. It really was. Just way too much time in the defensive zone. You go up 2-0. I mean, for the first, 10 minutes, we were winning every puck. We were getting to every puck, winning every battle. And then for the next 50 minutes, it totally turned around.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the consensus is, and you know, is that, you know, we just laid back and didn't have that killer instinct. The team lost, you're right.
Yeah, so, like I said, I don't blame any one player. I really think that Shanahan should go fuck himself, because missing Hagelin on the first line is really hurting us right now. So, again, he can go fuck himself 5 times over. And it really just pisses me off that he's really the key to that first line. That's why Richards and Gaberk really aren't getting any chances, because they don't have to worry about anyone else on the first line. And so, yeah. And the thing with Staal, where they scored the first, was it the first goal was when Staal came up, or was that the second goal?
I think that was the first goal.
The first goal.
Yeah. John Mitchell was supposed to be back on that play. He's supposed to rotate back and play D. He didn't get there. That's why they scored the goal. End of story. Staal came in to make a great play. If he scores a goal there, no one's crying about it. But Mitchell needs to get back and cover. It's happened too many times this year where we've allowed an odd man break. And not just on Mitchell, but on everyone. When a defenseman pinches in or drives to the net, the forward doesn't get back.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, again, I think you really hit the nail on the head. It was a team loss. I mean, you know, and hopefully they get in front of the Garden crowd and, you know, they come out jumping and just stomp on them. Just stomp
on them. I'll tell you what. I think they're just as tired of it as we are, and I think they're going to come out and just take the next 2 games. I really do. I think they've had enough. This team has been super resilient all year. And I think that they've had enough, and they're just going to come out and hopefully play, you know, just 2 great games. Hopefully they'll put pressure on for 60 minutes and, for God's sakes, put more pressure on them in the defensive zone. How many times do I have to watch the puck go back and forth between defensemen in the offensive or in the defensive zone? It's driving me crazy.
Right. I see Anthony Perry saying, as opposed to what, an individual loss? No, we're not saying that. You little
see
wife.
See you guys
tracker.
Sunday. We're going to podcast. You can download
we're
the
going podcast,
in an hour.
Okay, but we sometimes you can target a specific player or play or series of plays. This, to me, was a team mindset loss more than a – and the coach has really got to be aware of this. It's – I don't know if he said anything. I don't know if anybody said in the room about it, but they can't lay back and just – and one thing – one of the more lucid things that Frankie did say was, you know, they did have 30 block shots, the Rangers. They also had 33 shots against. That's an awful lot of – opportunities and traffic in front of you and stress and all kinds of pressure on your defense. So I certainly think that's got to be rectified. I mean, it's got to be rectified. And you made a good point, Justin, when you said that Hagelin is a key component to that first line.
I think it's really being overlooked big time. I'm hoping – When we win on Saturday and he gets back, I hope they really don't put Kreider on the bench. I know he hasn't played much. He hasn't had a lot of experience, but he's got a lot of speed. He puts a lot of pressure on the defense when he's flying up the ice, just like Hagelin. And we just need to the things we need to do is it's simple. It's not difficult. We this series should be over as far as I'm concerned. It should be 4-0 sweet. We should be waiting to see who we're going to play. And it's, I love Torts. I'm not going to blame him for anything, but he needs to get these guys to play the way they did the first 10 minutes the entire game. We play the way we did the first 10 minutes the entire game. We walked away with that game. Absolutely would have walked away with it. We would have walked away with game two. And, you know, I'm tired of them sitting back, turtling up, and just not playing any offense, not forechecking, not getting to loose pucks. I can't tell how many times in the defensive zone we managed to lose pucks and they managed to get them out to the point for shots or passes. And it's just getting really frustrating. So we just need to get a little pressure in the offensive zone, sustain a little bit of pressure, get some good shots, and just really get back to playing our game. We're not playing our game. We're letting them dictate right now.
I agree with you. I don't know if we should have had the whole series by now. I got to give credit to Ottawa. I think they've certainly had a lot more intestinal fortitude than I thought they had. For an offensive-minded team. But you're right. I think the Rangers have pretty much had the destiny. Again, the stat which we did in the last broadcast, the Rangers have never been trailing in the series until overtime, the final. So the Rangers have had their own destiny in their own hands and have failed to seal the deal in two games. So you're right that, you know, it could be possible they could have swept. So, you know, but I give credit to Ottawa. They're they're not as fragile. I use that word when I first, kind of handicapped this series, and they're not. And I was wrong on that. And I think even the guy from the Senators block said they're not fragile. Or somebody
no,
said
you,
it to me.
You do make a good point. They have played a good series, and I think they've really battled us, but we are the better team, period. I don't think anyone can argue we are better. We are just a better overall team than they are. And, I mean, really, when you look back at it, yes, they battled back. Yes, they scored. But they got a lot of good bounces their way. They got lucky quite a bit, where we haven't got lucky at all. And, yes, I agree. They have battled, and
they played two games without one and a half without Daniel Alfredsson. He's a big component to their team. They managed to come up with a victory without him last night. Again, I don't want to laud them too much because, frankly, I could care less. I want the Rangers to win. But I try to look at it as objectively as I can. They spend a lot of time in the Rangers zone. The Rangers do not spend nearly enough time in their zone. They don't. I mean, that's the bottom line. Rangers got to get more zone time. They just don't spend a lot of time in there.
Yeah.
Even strength, they got nothing. They got nothing last night, even strength.
They let them come into the zone too easy. They let them cycle the puck too easy. Too many times the puck is cycled to the other side of the ice, and all four of our guys are either on the other side of the ice or, you know, sitting in the slot, and we just allow them, we don't put pressure on them and force them to make a mistake, which is why we get no odd man rushes. We get, I mean, we have, what? How many odd man rushes have we had in this series? I can probably count on one finger.
Oh, two. Well, you're right. You're exactly right.
You can't get an odd man rush if you're not putting pressure on guys on defense. Unless somebody completely just totally screws up at the blue line, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So, you know, we need to apply pressure defensively. This includes the forwards, the defensemen, everyone. Everyone is responsible. I don't blame Delzato. I don't blame Dubinsky. I don't blame Callahan. I don't blame Gavrik. I don't blame Richards. They all need to play better, period.
I blame Higgins. He's been invisible in this playoffs.
And Frolov. Piece of shit. Frolov is garbage.
I blame John Mitchell. That's the only guy I blame.
Yeah, you blame him for everything. All right, well, listen, I'm going to let you go so we can get Joey on before we end this podcast and talk to him real quick because it's been a while. I will see you Saturday afternoon, sir, at our usual spot.
I will see you then.
All right.
Take care, sir.
All right. See you later.
Bye. All right. Let's see. Joey, long time no talk. How are you? How you feeling, sir?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Hello. The great Joey Bart.
Joey Bart.
Yes.
How you feeling?
The biggest New York Rangers collection in Jacksonville, Florida, as Eddie would say.
So how are you feeling? How's the health?
I'm still kind of sore, still kind of hurting. But the biggest hurt I have right now is from last night. It was just so hard to watch. There at the end, of the third period when I think it was Boyle had the puck behind the net, and they just let the seconds tick away, you know, and John Tortorella called the timeout. I thought, you know, that they had an overtime plan, and I'm sure that they did. And, you know, when Ottawa scored that overtime goal, it was just really hard in the house. That just everybody just was deflated as soon as that went in. And you could see it on the ice, too. You can see Lundqvist's face. I mean, guy hates being scored on. And, you know, like I posted, I've been a Ranger fan since I was 3 years old. I'll never give up on this team. And I've been through the good and the bad, but it's like every year is just like you're just hoping, you know. And I know I bragged that I called, like, the Eastern Conference and the division and the Cup. And even if we, you know, don't make it out of the first round, I'm never going to give up. And I love what Jim says. He's like, you know, if you're going to jump ship, here's my address, because I'll pick
you up. That's right.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing what's in store Saturday. You know, I think they play better at the Garden. I've seen them play really good at the Garden. And speaking of watching people, you know, watching them play, I thought it was funny how Frankie was going on and on about the feed. And I'm like, what are you watching? Everybody's watching
feed.
The same thing.
I know.
Yeah.
You may be watching it on MSG, and I can be watching it on CNBC, but we're all watching the same exact game. And, you know, Delzato, I like him because he's a Ranger. But Delzato is just like, every once in a while I see the number four skate up and do something, but I don't think I've ever seen that guy register a hit. Not one that I can remember. You know, I know who registers in my mind the hits, and that's Callahan. Callahan hits, he hits hard. And I thought that it was the three-game suspension. Who's that on?
On Carl Hagelin.
Yeah, I thought that was bullshit. Bullshit. And that, I mean, the whole Alfredson out with the concussion thing, my thoughts on it are they're milking him for the second round. They're like, okay, well, we're gonna keep you out because we're gonna beat the Rangers and you need to rest for the second round.
Excuse me.
Well, so, I listen. I'm like you. I was devastated after that loss. I can tell you, you guys are probably laughing at me, but as soon as they scored, I had the Broadway hat on. I had my Ranger jersey on, Jim. I took the hat off and threw it across the bar. I was so disgusted.
That's exactly what I did with my hat. I was wearing my Rangers Winter Classic hat. First thing I did was I stood up off the couch, threw my phone across the couch. Then my hat went the other direction. I went and grabbed my keys, and I said, I'm going to the store, and I just left. And I went I had to go to the store, and I just got on the highway and drove for 20 minutes.
Me and my wife, we went to go pick my brother up. So we got here for the last, 2 minutes. And as soon as that goal went in, we just went, oh. And it just, it was, literally, I just looked at my brother. I said, good night. We're going to bed. So there was, there was nothing else to say or do. He's not been staying here long enough to know how important it is for the Rangers to win, and especially the playoffs. And it was just we didn't know what else to do but go to bed. And I don't think that you can place the blame on any one player, And I know it's not like somebody said, it's a team loss as opposed to an individual loss. It's a team loss. It's a team effort. And it's just I hope, sometimes I'm I hope that they get on Twitter and see how we feel, or, listen to radio shows and see how we feel. But then again, I'm I hope they don't. I know that doesn't probably make any sense, but keep their, head in the game. And I would love to sit here and believe that they're going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, but right now we just got to make it out of the first round. And I'm just sitting here going, I'm not going to give up, but it's just right now it's, let's all be realistic that if we don't, it makes sense that if we don't win this game, we're going to lose by the numbers. But if we don't come out swinging for all three periods, we're done.
I agree with you.
I think that's well put. I mean, you're at home. You've got a chance to really get the edge in the series. You win the game. It's a 50-50 proposition whether you win the series. At home, you're exactly right. I think I couldn't put it better. They got to come out swinging and just take it. Just absolutely take it. No screwing around. And hopefully they will. I mean, it's like you. I'm going to be a Ranger fan, win, lose, or draw, whatever happens. But I just wish they would make it a little bit easier on us.
Yeah.
But they never have, so why should things change?
Right. And what's a couple more things, and then I know you guys got to end the podcast and all that. Thank you for letting me be on the podcast.
Our pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
What's up with the power play and the pass? I mean, you have a lane right there. And you pass, and it's we're not in fucking practice here. This is not practice. I mean, you got it. Last night I saw two or three open lanes, and me and my wife were yelling, shoot! What's up with that? I mean, it gets really, really old, especially when, God bless him, when Brad Richards gets the puck. I'm like, dude, are you serious? You're going to pass it when you've got an open lane and you move the way you do?
I think a lot. Well, I think this is a two-pronged problem. I think it's, one, the Rangers don't have a lot of movement on their power play. They stay around the perimeter. They pass around the perimeter. So they're always looking for the open shot. Then when they do get the opportunity to get the open shot, I always don't think it's the highest quality of shot. And they're so unselfish, they like to dish the puck off when they have really good scoring opportunities. Anisimov is like that. Delzato has been like that in the playoffs. Richards is like that. Stepan is certainly like that. They don't look to shoot and score first. They look to dish off because they're unselfish. But, you know, you got to take the bull by the horns sometimes and just get that shot. That's the only way you're going to score.
I want to ask you guys, because nobody else has asked you, and I want to ask you both individually to answer me individually. In your heart of hearts, looking at this, Eddie, do you think that we can make it to the second round? Answer me honestly.
Yes, I think that we can, yeah. I think I believe in this team. I believe in what they, you know, what they accomplished all year. I think they're better than the Ottawa Senators. And we have Henrik Lundqvist. That's why I believe.
Jim?
Absolutely.
All right, well.
But I mean, we knew going in this was going to be a tough matchup, and Ottawa's giving them all they got. So.
Guys, I appreciate it, man. And I'm sorry that I've been absent from the show. But
no problem, Joe. Get healthy.
Go Rangers.
All
right.
You got it, buddy. We'll talk to you
soon.
All right, bye.
Take care. All right, the great Joey Barden closes us out. Well, there you have it.
Very interesting night, I have to say. Mary and Frankie and Joey Barden. And
it's the Stiller and Mirror of internet internet hockey radio. Who are you, Carol Channing?
That was great.
Three people got that joke.
Yeah.
You, me, and Mary.
Carol's... Yeah, that's true. All right, Jimbo.
All right, sir.
We missed you last night, and I can't wait to see you again. I can't wait to do this show. What are we coming back?
Sunday.
Sunday?
Yeah.
At 6.
Your time.
Check us out on Facebook.
iTunes. Check us out on iTunes, Microsoft Zoom, the whole bit. We'll see you Sunday.
Good night, everybody.